And we are back and live, and tonight we're talking to Shayna. You said Marie, right?
Shanna Maria. Shanna. You were close.
Yeah, right? All right, Shanna Maria. Is that better?
Got it.
Okay. So, anyway, for the people that don't know you or haven't checked out your Facebook page or anything, the question I normally come out with is, what got you started and interested in the paranormal?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, what got me interested in the paranormal is I am a born medium. I was born this way. I was born with gifts. And not that that was easy for me, but I was born with gifts. And it wasn't until 2010 I experienced a near-death accident. And that really activated my gifts in ways that I at the time wasn't prepared for. Let's just put it that way. I came back bearing gifts. Within all that, at the time I had no idea what I was seeking, but I was seeking someone to help me make sense of what I was experiencing and what I was going, you know, what I was experiencing and whatnot. And what really got me into the paranormal was due to my near-death accidents. Like I said, I was born with gifts, but I wasn't in a place where I was like, yeah, I was like a medium. You know, I was actually taught growing up that the experiences that I was, you know, what I was experiencing, hearing all that wasn't happening. I taught to be quiet about this stuff. And I did. I spent majority of my life being quiet and kind of hiding in the spiritual closet, so to speak. So 2010 happened. I experienced a near-death experience. And that, for me, opened the doors to really the paranormal and me learning about my own gifts and abilities, knowing that I'm not crazy, but I'm gifted. And this stuff really does exist. So I went on like a 17-day trip with a paranormal group, and I needed to do that for myself. I was still out there seeking answers. I wanted to find the truth. And back up, I mean, there was so much more before that, but I will say that trip that I took changed everything for me within the paranormal. I no longer questioned before that. So my curiosity and my curiosity is really what got me to seeking more of the paranormal. And I knew that I needed answers. I'm a curious being. So I just went out and I found a group here local to me, and I found a mentor, and they really brought me in, and I was able to go on paranormal investigations with them and home, investigations and stuff like that. And that's really where my love for the paranormal started to take place. I no longer started to fear it or ashamed of it. I started to, you know, really open myself up more to it. I'm glad that I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It for people like you, it's best if you do open up to it and embrace it and accept it.
Yes.
The way you're talking about it, it sounds like you grew up around the same time I did. Because I'm getting back into the practice of Wicca. I was a Wiccan back whenever I was younger, and I did a lot of different ritual magics and stuff. And I found that I am also sensitive, and when I put myself in the right mindset, I can actually see auras. So. You know, it takes a little meditation, a little concentration, but I can actually do that.
Yeah.
But because I wound up getting married, and the woman I married, it freaked her out, I kind of shelved it and never messed with it again. Now that it's divorced and everything, I'm going to, I'm getting back into it again. To re-examine the things I need.
Yes, that's amazing.
I kind of understand where you're at with yours.
You and I feel like we have a very similar path there. I, too, was married And my husband at that time was definitely not open. And so I really also had to put it on the bookshelf. You know, it was like my family was saying one thing and then I was married. So I really kept this stuff hidden. And it ultimately made me very sick. Like I, for me, when I denied this part of myself, this wasn't like the separate entity. This is who I am. And when I tried to deny this part of me, it literally wreaked havoc within my body. So I was not only dealing with the trauma part, but I was also dealing with, I have gifts. And, you know, so what's going on here? I needed answers. So I'm glad that I embraced it and I accepted it. Self-acceptance for if you're gifted, that self-acceptance is key here. It's so
important.
Yeah,
it is. It is. You really gotta.
You're not crazy. You're gifted. There's a difference.
No, yeah, it is. There's a lot of difference.
Yeah.
See, when I grew up and I was learning it, it was mostly associated in the minds of everybody with like Satan and the devil.
Yes.
You know, and being evil. And the if you look at it from the aspect that I had, I was I was raised in a Pentecost family.
Okay.
So yeah. Having that and having to deal with the church aspect of it pushing at me.
And how was that for you? Can I ask? How was that for you? Because actually, in one part that I teach, because I do spiritual mentoring, and one part that I teach is actually a spiritual block. We are a religious block. Sorry. So how was that working through that for you? Or is that something that you still find yourself working through?
Well, I've kind of turned away from the religions because I discovered that Wicca and paganism and witchcraft are all kind of married in the same realm. They're kind of all similar, even though they have different paths. They still kind of walk the same direction and do the same things. Because they're all magics and religion of the earth, natural.
Yes. So, and you're very connected to the earth, aren't you?
Yeah, I am too.
I so relate to that. And like you as a child, I found myself doing that kind of stuff. I just didn't understand, you know, I didn't understand it was Wicca at the time. And interesting that you say that. Recently, I had one of my clients give me a book. It's the Big Blue Book. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but it's the Big Blue Book, and it's Wicca. My whole life, I've been called a witch. I was like, what is this? But now after, like, reading this book, I really, like, opened that up. Because at first, I didn't know. Like you said, there's such a misconception. Like what I was taught as a child growing up is that this stuff was bad. It was witchcraft. It's devil's work.
Yeah.
That is so the opposite of what this is. I do God's work. I don't work with the devil. I never have.
Well, no. And another thing about Wicca is that everything, no matter what, everything has a spirit to it.
Yeah. And you're right.
The earth has a spirit. The earth, the Gaia. Okay.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons I believe that we are going through what we're going through right now for this last year and continuing now is because she is fed up with us. We're her children and we have become such disobedient little that she's trying to figure ways of punishing us and bringing us back into the fold and making us know that we have done wrong and we need to make amends.
Yep. It's all coming up for a reason. I just got straight up goosebumps when you said that. Spirit's way of validating. Yes. And you're right. These gifts are all interconnected. All these things are interconnected. Medium, psychic, healer, light worker, you know, all these things, shamanic, all these things are interconnected. They're all very similar. People need to put labels on things. But they're all interconnected is what I found from all my research and years and even studying other religions. I grew up Catholic. So I also had to work through that religious block. Yeah. I no longer practice. That is my foundation, but I do not practice. Yeah, I don't practice that.
No, I know Catholics. I've been
that way too.
I know.
My grandpa changed when they moved to America. My grandpa changed. He changed. He's like, no more of this Catholic. And so then we became Lutheran. So I was baptized Lutheran. So I didn't have to grow up in that Catholic world.
So you understand.
Oh, yeah. I've seen my share of a lot of things over the years. And I've even seen people firsthand.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
So how did you work through, or is that something that you're still working through, is that religious block, so to speak?
Me?
Do you struggle with that religious block at
I don't
all?
Have a religious block because I don't believe in it. I believe I have my own beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's how I feel. Mm-hmm.
I mean, my mother-in-law, when I first met her before she became my mother-in-law, it was like I spent the night at her place with her daughter. I walked downstairs on a Sunday morning. She asked me if I was going to go to church with him. And I said, I looked at her straight in the eye with a straight face. And I said, if I walked into church with you, you'd believe in spontaneous combustion.
Yep. That's how I used to feel walking into a church. I don't know why.
I don't believe that. The best way I can put it is, I don't believe that I should have to go to a church and have to feel like I have to put money in a bowl to be there and to believe in Jesus Christ and so on and so forth. I shouldn't have to go to a church to believe. See? And I don't like going. I fell asleep I'll admit it. I fell asleep. You'd catch me sleeping. Fire was singing, you'd see me still sitting in that pew sleeping, you know? I don't think so. I don't go back to church unless it's a wedding or a funeral, you know?
Same here. I realize I don't need to go to church to have those experiences. I can have those experiences right at home, actually. Like, I look at, I haven't gotten in trouble for saying this yet, but what I look at, like, a preacher, pastor standing at the front of the church, what he is a vessel. He is a messenger from God, creator, whatever you feel. Mm-hmm. He's a messenger, or she's a messenger. That's what I am as a psychic medium. I know I don't need to go to church to be able to connect to that source.
No, you don't. And the best part about Wicca and paganism is they don't require you to have to go to a church. Most of our temple, most of the Wiccan temple, we have a window.
Yeah.
That's our temple. The woods.
That's how I feel. I go to nature.
The streams, the lakes.
When I
nature herself when is nature. Our temple.
Yes. Oh, I agree. And water is so healing. Even sitting by water.
It is.
You know, drinking water, bathing, and whatever. Water is so healing in so many ways.
Yeah, that's
beautiful. Oh, I love water.
I don't know.
And
I might have been a mermaid in another life. I don't know.
I'm cursed. I'm
a water sign.
Are you?
I'm cursed because I don't know how to swim.
No.
I never learned.
I wish
because my mother. Babied me so daggum much, she wouldn't let my sisters or my brothers teach me how to swim.
Oh, no, really?
Yep.
I learned the old-fashioned way. I got thrown into the deep end of the pool by my uncle, and it was like, in the ground.
Yeah, I wish that would have happened to me.
That's my experience.
I learned how to doggy paddle fast. I learned how to doggy paddle real fast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That worked, too.
So you've been talking about being born with gifts. So what did you discover when you opened them?
Oh, that I wasn't crazy, that this stuff really does exist. My first experience that I can remember, I was 5 years old. And that's the first memory that I have. And actually around that age, I had surgery right on my third eye here. So I had surgery and I was told by a shaman that I see here, that when I had that surgery, something was taken away, whatever that means. I feel like it activated my connection to the other side. Since I was a young child, I would have spirits come to me and I would help them. I would help them or I would help cross them over. I was very much, I don't know, especially as a child, I would draw a lot of child spirits to me, and especially in my bedroom. My bedroom was, I felt like a sanctuary for ghosts to come. So I was visited often as a young child and at a very young age throughout my life. And for me, it was really, for me, I say one part of it was very natural, but in another sense, it was kind of scary because I knew that, you know, other people, especially back then, people weren't talking about these things. Thank God, finally, you know, we have these amazing platforms and the paranormal investigator shows that come to be able to open this stuff up. I'm so grateful for. But I really struggled. I really struggled the other part of my life with this because I didn't understand. I didn't have anyone to talk to or to anyone to show me, hey, you know, these things are really happening. It's okay.
A lot of the stuff that I learned from a brujo, a Hispanic woman who's a witch, and she was my girlfriend at the time.
Nice.
That's how I kind of started learning some of the stuff, especially the dark side, and I steered clear of that. There's no way I'm going into that darkness.
Me too.
That is the worst place. It's not because it's scary, it's just that is the worst place to be.
It's not a place you want to go. And that's an interesting thing, looking back on my experience of growing up and mentoring others. There's so many of us that have experienced dark energies or attachments when we were younger growing up. Thank God, I don't think, from my memory, I don't have experiences where I grew up with those dark things, but I do know people that have had struggles with those, you know, for whatever reason, they're attached to that darkness, or that darkness is attached to them, or them. But for me, thank God, I feel like I've always drawn in kind of lighter, brighter spirits. I don't draw in so much the dark energies. Thank God, because me going through my abuse, I was very open and vulnerable to these darker energies.
Right.
Not saying that they weren't there, right? But even though I didn't realize it at the time, since I was at a young age, I've always been in tune with my guidance. I've had a very strong conscience. It has saved my life many times, I tell you. If it wasn't for that inner voice telling me things, I probably wouldn't be here, and that's the truth.
Yes, that would be your guardian.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, I discovered it at a younger age that I had an ability to where I can actually draw the negative energies from a person. I can literally draw the negative energies from them and replace it with positive energies. I can calm them down, like, almost instantly.
Yeah.
But I also learned that if I don't release that negative energy into an inanimate object and let it go.
Yeah.
It eats at me until I blow up.
Yes. 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 I know exactly what you're talking about. I think that's why I've had two medical emergencies too in my life. Seriously. It's so true. It's so true.
So, What other abilities are you capable of doing?
So I'm also an intuitive healer. I do energy work, like shamanic. The last 5 years, I've been really delving into the shamanic side of things. I found out that I actually have Cherokee Indian. My father was Cherokee Indian. So really exploring more of that side. When we open these doors, A friend of mine once told me, and this has always stuck with me. She always said, girl, you don't even know half of the gifts that you have yet. And this was probably like 5 years ago or so. And I was thinking to myself, what more possibly can I have? You know, because I already deal with being a psychic medium. Like, what else is there? Well, there is so much more out here to learn and to explore. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm constantly learning. I love the research. I loved being able to actually be, active and doing things, but I love learning. I don't think I will ever stop learning.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I really learned. For me, it's energy. I work in energy. Everything I do is in energy. So I like studied and learned energy and how it affects us and all that. And for me, that was like huge. I've been able to actually heal myself, my trauma in my life and other experiences in my life. I've been able to heal that trauma and that stuff in my life where through my spiritual connections, through my spiritual healing. So for me to be able to embrace my psychic medium has actually helped me heal my trauma. I never thought that could be possible. So for me, this was so much more than just ghosts and spirits. This was everything. This is me finding my wholeness and who I am. And once again, owning that and embracing it.
Not oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No.
So do you work with crystals?
I do.
What's your favorite one?
Everywhere. I am a big crystal. Actually, I got this one. This is a rose quartz. I dug this out of the ground in South Dakota.
Awesome.
It's everywhere. Yeah, I also, like I mentioned, I do energy work. So I work with a lot of crystals. I work with a lot of different, spiritual tools.
Right.
But a lot of it comes from my natural abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your connection with the earth.
I wear them. They're everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, though. What is your favorite one? What is the favorite that you like to work with?
Oh, the one I just showed you.
So you're a rose quartz.
I am. I'm so attached to this. Once again, I don't know if it's because I actually dug it out of the earth. It was meant for me. But this is one of my favorite. And then amethyst. I'm a big fan of amethyst.
Amethysts are gorgeous. I gotta find my amethyst I have. I have a sphere about that big around of nothing but straight amethyst.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, so rose quartz and amethyst are my favorite. Those are the ones I really like to work with the most. I feel like they bring a lot of light and good energy in.
So, just a quick question, another quick question here.
Yeah.
You want to tell me the story of how you discovered your rose quartz? And
how I discovered it?
Yes.
Ooh. So, let's see. My husband and I were on a walk. So years back, maybe 5, 6 years ago, we went to South Dakota and we were just driving around kind of like the Black Hills area. And we actually went off trail into an area that no one was. And so it was pretty remote. We took about a couple mile hike and came across this cave. It was like this little cave. And something was calling me into this cave. Something said to go in that cave. So I end up going into this cave. And actually, I have it way up there. But when I went into this cave, I saw this huge, it's probably like this big. It's a huge, actually, rose quartz piece. It has different quartz in it. And I grabbed that. And I was just so, like, excited about it. But then I turned around and boom, that rose quartz I just showed you was, like, right there by my feet. And so, like I always do, I asked, the earth if I could take it, and mm-hmm. it was mine. So I took it. So I just happened to come across in a really remote area in South Dakota and came across it. So that's when, spirit tells you to go somewhere, you follow, because you never know what treasures are around the corner.
You know that it wasn't you discovering that quartz. That quartz discovered you.
Yes.
It so brought true. You to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a piece I use for all of my energy sessions, and it's a piece that I know my clients just they just gravitate towards it. So I definitely feel the love and power from it.
Oh, there's a good power in it. There's a very good power in it, and it drew you in from where you were.
Yes.
When you guys did that, so whose idea was it to go off trail?
Both of ours. We're very spontaneous. We don't like places that like touristy places. So we try to find places where tourists are not. So I just, that's one thing I love about our road trips. Road trips are the funnest. We're very spontaneous. We never plan. So wherever we end up, it's always been amazing. So I love it. Adventure awaits. You never know what you're going to come across.
No. True. True.
Yeah.
See, that's what I love about the crystals and the formations. The thing is with those, you never truly find them, they find you.
Oh, it's so true.
I'll tell you a story that happened to me if you want to hear it.
Yes, I love stories.
Back in 2016, me and my girlfriend and my daughter and her fiance at the time and my grandson, we all took a trip out to California where my parents live, and we went out there to visit them. And it was last year. This was the last year I got to see my mom. And we went out there, visited, and on our way back, we stopped in Las Vegas. We stayed the night in Las Vegas. And the following morning, when we got up, got everything packed, and got ready to leave, before we left Las Vegas, we went to an In-N-Out Burger.
Mm.
You know, it was going to be the last time we got to have an In-N-Out for a while.
Right? They're good.
they are the best. So anyway, we pull in. We go inside, have our lunch before we leave. Come back out, and we're getting ready to get in the van. I open up the side door on the van to get in, and I look down. Right next to the back tire is this pouch right here.
Oh, what is it?
It's just a pouch.
Okay.
Now, the crystal's not in here right now, but inside this pouch was a piece about that long, a black tourmaline. And I know for a fact that crystal found me. It was there for me to discover,
yes,
and become a part of who I am.
I just got that spirit guide.
Well, spirit that guide. black tourmaline. The reason it's not in that pouch is being made into a ring.
Oh!
Along with the opal that I've had for 34 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm having a cushion cut made from the tourmaline and two oval cuts made from the opal to set next to the tourmaline on the ring.
Well, that's going to be beautiful. You'll have to show me when you get it made.
Oh, yeah. No, it's in the process of being made now. I'm just waiting for them to call me and tell me it's ready.
Awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. Spirit guide came in for you. So that's so interesting. Rings, talking about rings. So it doesn't have a stone, but sterling silver. Actually, it's a spoon ring. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can see it, but it's an old spoon ring. I think I was 10 years old. It was actually the Target on Lake Street. My mother and I went, and I remember stepping out of my car door and I looked down and something was shining. So I grabbed it and picked it up. And here it was, this ring. So throughout my life, I've always lost it. And somehow it's always found me. And so the last time I lost it, I never thought I would find it again. I thought it was gone forever. You know, we went moved and I thought it was gone forever. Well, come to find out, all of a sudden, in the most random place, this ring appears. And I was just like, oh my God. But I just got chills. I just get chills just talking about it. So one of my friends, a trusted psychic medium as well, I showed her this ring and she held it and she goes, "This is a spirit guide. Like this ring, this was a spirit guide that came in for you so many years ago." And so, you know, items that we find, sometimes items that you find like that tourmaline that you had, this ring, that's just another like sign from, you know, your angels or your guides. I think it's so cool. No, I don't think about stuff like that. But there's a reason why this ring never left me. It wasn't meant to be lost. And no, it's a ring that I always wear. Anytime I do energy work or I do any work, or I go on investigations or anything, I always keep this ring with me. It almost feels like a security blanket, like a protection.
Mm-hmm. So,
so wear your ring when you get that ring. Wear it with love because that is your spirit guide and that is also your power source. Just want to let you know.
You know, it's funny that you would say that would be my power source because that's the purpose of this ring. It's a power ring.
Oh!
think about this.
Oh,
those two stones,
mm-hmm.
the opal and the black tourmaline. Now, the black tourmaline is often mistaken as a black onyx. And those are the two most powerful stones for a Wiccan to ever be able to wield. And
I can't wait to see this. You're going to have to show them this piece.
And they literally have the most protective power of any of the stones that are out there for us to be able to use.
Yes. I always say that everyone should have that stone. Everyone.
And I had meant to have my opal turned into a jewelry piece for the longest time. I've had it for 34 years.
Now, did you end up coming across that, or was that something that was inherited?
The opal I actually purchased when I was 18 years old from a place in California. It was a store in Fresno, California called the Brass Unicorn.
Okay.
And at the time, now think about this, 34 years ago, I paid $20 for that opal at the time. That's a lot of money for a stone back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had that stone for 34 years.
That's awesome.
And so here, hopefully in a couple of weeks, I'll be getting my ring. And it's going to be set in sterling silver.
Oh, very cool. Yep. Silver. Yeah, you'll have to show me. Don't forget.
Definitely.
I can't wait to see it. Like, it's the only picture in my head right now.
we'll keep in touch, and I'll show it to you. But I was just kind of wondering, because I also seen you're wearing a black ring.
Oh, so this one.
Yes.
You know, I'm not even really sure what stone this is. It's hard to say, but I'm not sure what stone it is.
I can see that that the craftsman that made it put some facets on the top part of it.
Uh-huh.
But it looks like it's beveled into the
ring. It totally is. I don't know if you can see, but it almost has like a smoky, like a light smoky black or brown. It's hard to tell. It's like a smoky color.
Well, my perspective from this side, it looks black. So does it have any kind of like translucence any to it?
No, I don't know if you can see. It probably won't show up. There's the back of it. Let's see if it will actually. No, it won't pick up, will it?
Not certain.
Yeah, it's a stone I still haven't figured out.
The reason I ask is because that could have been an Apache tear. If it has any kind of, you're saying it's kind of smoky.
Yeah.
If it's got any kind of translucence to it, to like where you can see the light through it.
It does. Yeah, it does.
It could be an Apache tear.
Huh.
Apache tears are a translucent type stone, but they're the smoky darkness stones.
Yeah, that's what this looks like. And it's called what?
Apache tear.
Hold on.
What do you mean, hold on?
Yeah,
we got a warning siren going off here.
Uh-oh. Hang on a second.
And it's not 12:30.
No, it's not 12:30. It's 6:45. Why would you guys have warning sirens?
It's going off.
Well,
I can't hear it, so.
I can't either.
Yeah.
it. It's going off.
I don't know. Maybe it's a test that they're doing or something. I don't.
Yeah, what are we at? It's not the first of the month. Oh, it's
Wisconsin. The weather can change any second.
Well, she lives in Minnesota. It's the same way
that
for her.
Yeah.
Same way. Yeah.
Have you had a lot of heavy winds lately?
Yeah, it has been.
Actually,
yeah,
it's been kind of windy. They've been
50-something today, but it's only been as high as 30-something because of the wind.
No, we didn't. It was supposed to be in the 50s, but we only hit around 44, 45 degrees total.
Yeah, it's been kind of rainy and just icky. I'm so sick of the cloudiness at this point. I'm like, let's bring back the sunshine.
Well, yeah, all week last week was really nice. I wore shorts.
I know. It was beautiful. It was, 80 one day. I'm like, what? Don't tease us, Mother Nature.
What part of Minnesota are you in?
So I'm in St. Paul.
St. Paul. Okay.
Yep. So not too far.
Deb's there saying it's tornado awareness
because there is no severe weather alerts out.
No, you would get one on your cell phone if there was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably what it is. It's probably some test that they're doing to make sure everything's working properly.
Well, not surprised something like that's happening.
I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't, you know.
Well, yeah.
The 12th.
So when you were saying about the big blue book,
yeah.
Now I have a big blue book. It's about that wide by about that long.
Okay.
It's Ray Buckland's Complete Guide to Witchcraft.
Yep, that's it.
Yep. Are you serious?
That's it. Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, when I see witchcraft, what do you think? You know, like that childhood memory comes back. So I'm like, I don't know if I want to open this. And then I open it carefully.
Oh, my goodness.
And the first part, spoke to my soul. And one of the first things it says is, you know, this is not, you know, the kind of witchcraft that you think it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I have not been able to put it down. I'm still, I think I'm about a little bit halfway through the book.
I have mine packed away somewhere in my stuff. I have to find it so I can read it again.
Right?
It was awesome to read it. It was awesome.
Yeah, I feel like it really connects for me pieces of I always used to laugh and joke, say I was a witch that was burned. might have been, who knows? But I always joke about that, you know, growing up and everything. And so now to, you know, actually see the witch and, you know, be able to understand it, do research on it, it really resonates deeply.
Yes.
I think there's others that knew that I was a witch before I knew I was a witch. I mean, I always kind of figured, I kind of always knew it was there, but, you know, I don't go around saying, hey, I'm a witch. I had a hard enough time saying I'm a psychic medium. I'm over that now, but.
Oh, definitely. So do you use tarots?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's another thing I was, let's see.
What's your favorite deck?
I just got a new one.
Oh, you got the Sacred Rebels Oracle. Nice.
I just got this a few weeks ago, and I'm absolutely obsessed. But I'm a big fan of Doreen Virtue, and my first set was actually given to me by my mentor. I call her my Earth Angel. She's the reason I'm here and, you know, doing this work. But still, the original pack that I have that she gave me, which is like the Angel's Guidance cards, those are my absolute favorite, and I just love those cards. But it took me a long time. When I first opened these doors, I remember in one of my classes, my mentor sat us down and we had to do tarot readings for one another. And at first I was freaking out. I never had used a tool like this before. And for me, everything comes natural. So this was like me learning how to use a tool. And I tell you, I went completely blank. I was like, I don't think I can do this. But after I really started learning and understanding more of tarot, once again, it's just a tool. I absolutely love them. I'm more open to them now than I ever used to be.
Yeah.
What about you? Are you a tarot person?
I have a deck. It's one of the original generic decks.
Is it?
I'm looking for, I'm actually looking to find one of the goddess decks.
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
Because those are really cool.
I love the original. I love the original. I'm actually like on a hunt for one too, like the original deck. But I like touching and feeling. You know, I'm not a person that can buy like my tools and stuff online. Usually I like to touch and feel because it's an energy thing. I got to feel connected to that piece.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So being over there in Minnesota, have you found any Wicca shops?
You know, not too many, unless I have not found them yet. So I'm originally from Minneapolis, now I live in St. Paul. So I'm still like finding new places. So do I have a place I can say I absolutely have found that I love yet? No, not necessarily. But we do have some great shops, but I haven't found a specific Wicca shop yet. Okay. But I have found a church. I did find a church.
Cool.
Yeah, I have not found them yet, though. But
okay, then that would be a stepping stone for you to be able to find some of the places around that might actually have or be a Wicca shop.
Ooh, let me look for that. I never even thought about that, just looking specifically for a Wiccan shop. You know, yeah, I never even thought about that. I'm going to look at that.
There is one here in Madison that is called Cosmic Delights.
Ooh. That's a fun name.
Let me guess. It's on University Avenue.
Nope. Nope. It's over at East Side Shops.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, my university here in Minnesota?
No.
Okay. University, we have a university too. All right.
Yeah. And then in Janesville, Wisconsin, there's a place called Earth Song Bookstore.
Ooh.
They also have Wicca stuff and crystals.
Okay. I just went to a store a few weeks ago with my daughter. Oh, gosh, I'm probably going to say the name wrong, but Precious. It's like a Precious Moments, but not the little toys or the, you know, the knickknacks, but actual store. And I love them. It's a big bookstore, but they have a huge herb section. I mean, wall-to-wall herb section. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool place. I kind of got more of a Wicca vibe there.
But I don't think it's specifically there. Well, it depends also, too, some of those stores. Depends on what kind of music they have playing and also if they burn the incense or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sandalwood is one of the really good ones.
Oh, I love Sandalwood. Love Sandalwood. Actually, I was just burning that a little bit ago. Love
it. Yep. Actually, mm-hmm. if you got the, if you get like the cones, the Sandalwood, the cones, take a little bit of cinnamon and drop on top of that before you light it.
Ooh, that's a good idea. What? I haven't tried that one.
Why?
So do you make your own? Have you ever tried making your own incense sticks?
No. I used to make my own oils.
I do. Yeah, I make a lot of stuff, my own stuff, and I just love it. But
I'm
a DIY craft witch.
What do you mean, why, Joe?
Why the cinnamon?
It adds
the cinnamon?
It adds a little bit of smell into the air with it. It gives you that little bit of difference.
I like
Sandalwood's nice, but if you put I'm not talking a lot. I mean, just a tad, just a tiny sprinkle. It's just a hint enough to throw that extra smell in there.
So are you a big, like, spells, witch ritual type of person?
Not really, no.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm more of try to sense things are there. And, you know, that's why when we do go on investigations and stuff, I try to be more verbal and talk to any entity that might be there.
So what got you both into the paranormal? Starting with you on the right. My right.
You're right, that would be me.
Yeah, it'd be you. Let's start here.
Well, considering the fact that I'm the only male in my on my mom's side of the family that's ever exhibited having this gift.
Huh. Interesting.
But no, I, like I said, I grew up as a Pentecost, in a Pentecost family. I can't say I was a Pentecost. I grew up in the family. And we went to church all the damn time. I hated it. But I got more interested in the aspect of knowing when things were around me,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that, that there were other realms, other spirits, you know, spirits and everything. And a few things that's happened in my life has really pinpointed that it's real for me, because my uncle stayed with us for about a year. It pretty much his last year in life. And he had a massive coronary, and my dad found him. He was on our back step. Called the ambulance. The ambulance shows up. And of course, the alternator goes crap on the ambulance when they show up, and we're out in the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So they're driving him back to the hospital on battery juice.
Wow.
So when they got him there, they got him kept alive for about 3 days, and he passed on. Well, about a month and a half after that, me and my dad both saw him walk past the front window of the
really?
House.
Wow.
Yeah. And my dad freaked out. Me, I, you know, I was like, yeah, man, it's just Uncle Luther. So, you know, I've always had an interest in it mostly. So, you know, listening to the stories my mom told me and everything. And then, of course, when I was 8 years old, I did something stupid. I used a Ouija board solo.
Yeah. How did that go?
It was a very interesting. During the use of it, I could feel that the temperature around me went up about 15 degrees.
Yeah.
And then I started sweating profusely. And the last thing it said to me, it wanted to take me to hell with it.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. I didn't use the board after that.
Yeah. Have you ever touched one since?
Oh, yeah. I've got two of them.
Okay.
They don't scare me. See, that's the weird thing. Ouijas don't scare me. I think I've experienced so much in life that I'm jaded to a lot of things.
Yep, that's how I feel. Mm-hmm.
When I was dating the Hispanic girl,
mm-hmm.
There's a park in the little town that I lived in. We used to go like 11, 12 o'clock at night, and this park is notorious for shadow creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally see the shadow people running around out there. Wow. And there was one of them that wasn't a shadow. It was a white creature. And it would hide behind trees that a normal human could not hide behind because the trees were too small.
Mm.
But this thing was like normal human size.
Okay.
And you'd see it every now and then whenever it'd hide, it'd peek around the edge of the or around behind the tree and stare at you.
Hmm.
You know, stuff like that. And then I got in a fight with her one day, and I got mad. I walked out the front door, sat on the front stoop, and I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden on my right, this enormous shadow, as a shadow figure or shadow person or something, just like looked like it just came right up out of the ground and stood straight up.
Wow.
It was about 9 feet
tall. And you physically saw this?
Yes.
Wow.
I physically saw this. Mm-hmm. And I sat there. I looked at it. I just did one of these. I was like, I look, I watch it get up. I go, okay. I get up real slowly. I walk in the door, close the door, go in and lay down on the bed. And didn't say a word. She's like, what's wrong?
Nothing.
And I didn't tell her what happened until the following day.
Wow. Wow. Very cool.
It's just stuff like that has jaded me. That's one of the reasons I don't have the flight response
mm-hmm.
whenever it comes to certain things.
Yeah, yeah. And having experiences, I mean, that makes you a believer for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It sounds like from a very young age, you've been, like myself, very sensitive to energy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And my daughter's the same damn way.
Oh, yeah. I believe this stuff is passed down. You know, I have three daughters myself, and they all have gifts in some way. So I really, truly believe these things are passed down. You know, I look at my mother. I look at my grandmother, for example. They definitely had gifts, but they were very hush-hush about it, you know. So interesting. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing.
Oh, thanks for asking.
So what about you?
What got me what into doing what we do?
What got you into the paranormal?
Oh, I've always had an interest in it. You know,
have you?
Just because it's unanswered questions. It's like I started out young, kind of interested in, you know, the unsolved mysteries, you know.
Me too. That was my favorite show.
Puzzles before they did, or, you know, things like that. But then I truly started believing in a lot of things after I faced death in the face a few times.
Yes.
I literally got into a car accident once that should have taken my life, because I was thrown from the car through the windshield.
Wow.
And it should have taken my life, but it didn't. And then I had leukemia in 95, and the doctor said I wasn't going to live to see Christmas that year. And before they could even decide what to do, because my white blood cell count was way too high, and it was dangerously high. Before they could decide what to do, I basically flatlined, and they had to do the paddles to bring me back like four or five times. So.
Wow. Yep, it was not your time to go. Now, can I ask you, when you had that experience, after that experience, did you find like your senses were heightened? Like your gifts were kind of activated? Or you had a more sensitivity to energy or anything?
Well, when it happened, I do remember kind of also having the out-of-body experience where I kind of saw and heard what was going on when I was flatlined, and them using the paddles on me, what they were saying, what was being said out in the hallway about my mom, because she had heart issues at that time. And so they had to give her a shot and something else and try to sedate her to, you know, because she was like in such a panic state. She was having a very severe panic attack, and they had to calm her down.
Wow.
And I do remember that. But after that, and before this, well, before it, I used to be able to get these feelings when something bad was going to happen. And what I mean by bad is somebody was going to get hurt pretty bad or pass away.
So premonition.
But I wasn't able to say who it was or any clue. I just would say something bad's going to happen. And then within a day or so, there's the phone call.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't want.
Yeah.
After the leukemia, it got to a point where I can narrow it down to people, and I haven't been wrong since. And although now I've kind of isolated myself to a very small circle of friends and moved away from Madison. So I don't have to worry about those anymore. I don't get them as often because I'm not in contact with a lot of people all the time.
That's good. I also hold a very small circle. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's always somebody I was close to. And the thing was, after the leukemia, I saw so much death and heard the death rattle so many times in such a small period of time. Yeah, it started out with one of my uncles committing suicide, and another one just, you know, passing away. Then it was an aunt, and then it was an ex-girlfriend, the mother of my youngest daughter, before she was even 9 years old. You know, then it was my dad and my stepfather. You know,
so a lot of loss.
Yeah, all in a very short period of time.
Oh, wow. Wow, sorry to hear. Bye.
So, you know, after all of that, and then losing my mother of all people, you know, who is my rock, you know, the person that I got the Manson joke from, because I used to take her around because I was the only one out of the two sons she had. I was the only one that took her the most. She turned over and looked at me one day and she's like, you know, you kind of look like Charles Manson. And I'm like, thanks a lot, Mom. But I've had fun with it ever since.
Oh, I bet. Well, thank you for sharing. So interesting. And what you said about when you flatline, you remember your experience being under. I remember mine too. I actually, when I ended up flatlining, I remember it was like I was like a fly on the wall watching myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It was something like that. And it's hard to explain because, you know, everything was really weird, but it's like, are you dreaming? Is this real? But then you get out of it and, you know, yeah, my brother and my dad were like sitting there in the room bawling.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that was said was going on. So,
well, you survived for a reason. Said that we're coming in time when we have these gifts and abilities, especially at this time. We are meant to do something with these gifts and abilities, whatever that is for you. But you are obviously here, still here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And
I don't think I'm ever gonna die. You know, I should have died in the car accident. I should have, you know, died with the leukemia. You know, I was, even after the bone marrow transplant, that was only supposed to give me 10 years, and it's been over 20.
Wow. You know? So you're literally like a walking miracle.
Well, he calls me a Twinkie.
He calls you what?
I call him Twinkie.
Oh, Twinkie?
Well... Everybody always jokes about the shelf life of a Twinkie being a million years. So I call it, I just out of the blue, just for kind of a fun thing, just called him Twinkie one day, and I'll be damned if it didn't stick.
That's how it happens.
And it was just a pick at him a little bit. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Unmute if you're going to talk, Joe.
All right. There's enough of the Twinkie thing, okay?
Move it on.
Hey, I didn't say anything till you did.
Yeah. Here's something else for you that I've experienced. And I haven't shared this before until now. So I've had these experiences in you know, where it's kind of like deja vu, but the wrong time period.
Interesting.
You know, like almost the same conversation, or I know this person, but the time period doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a previous life.
Okay.
Or something.
So you like know, you meet them in this lifetime, but yet you feel like...
I've known them from... somewhere else, and then somewhere along the line it'll hit me, and or I'll see it in like a dream, but the dream is in the wrong time period. I'm not alive in that time period myself. I mean, you know, my physical being, it, you know, it's like I'm living here and it's 1990 something, but I'm in, you know, 1800s, or you know, the old west. You know.
Interesting. So that past life connection. I feel like sometimes when we meet people in this lifetime and we meet them and you just have this deeper soul connection to someone, there's certain people I've met in my life and I'm pretty sure that we had past lives together, even though I don't remember that stuff. There is, when you have that feeling with someone in this lifetime, there is, I feel like sometimes it's connected to like a past life connection. It's so fascinating. Anything so fascinating.
Anything's possible.
Yeah. And you're, it almost sounds like you're also connecting to some of your past lives.
Yeah. There's, I don't know. It's just, it's some things that's happened I can't explain.
like you mentioned the cowboy. So have you always been, like, throughout your life, have you always been kind of drawn to, like, cowboy movies or stuff like that by chance?
Oh, yeah. I grew up watching Maverick, Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
I've got cowboy boots. I've got the long duster type jackets, you know, that you've seen them wearing in Tombstone.
Yes. Oh, Tombstone. Oh, have you ever been to Tombstone?
No, I'd like to go, though. And I've got two cowboy hats sitting in bags up here so they don't get dust.
All right. So there you go, cowboy connection.
But, I mean, there's just, it's strange. Some things just happen. I don't know.
It is. It's very strange. Some things it's hard to, you know, explain or to put into words, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some things are just unexplainable.
But anyway, I think we're hitting that top of the hour, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Late,
though. Time goes by so fast.
No, but we start a little late.
Stick around for about another 15 minutes after we're done. We can do a bonus footage if you want.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I can stick around for a few minutes. At some point, we're thinking about walking the dog.
Dog can wait. No.
Right? I just run around like a nut. I'm surprised he hasn't come up yet.
Is that the pit bull that I seen in your picture?
Yes. Yeah, that's my Duke. Yeah, he's... Yeah, he feels like human. He's like human spirit and a dog body. Mm-hmm. It's just something else. But yeah, he's a baby.
It's like Jasmine. Ours is she's a quarter lab, three quarters alligator pit.
Aww.
And she is adorable.
Aww.
And that's
Joe's puppy. Is that your doggy?
That's Joe's puppy.
I love that you just change your background like that. That's so awesome.
That's joy.
Oh,
actually, we call her Timber Joy. She kind of looks like a timber wolf. She's the closest thing to a wolf that you can have.
What kind of dog?
She's a purebred Siberian Husky.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
And in that picture, she's probably 2 years old, and she's now three.
Oh. Oh. So cute.
And she's queen of the house.
Oh, I bet.
She's the only dog here, and she is very stubborn, and yeah.
Stubborn my butt. She's
spoiled.
She thinks she's entitled to everything.
Oh, yeah. I love dogs.
Before he hits the stop button, is there anything you want to plug?
Well, I have some things coming up, so there's not too much. But I do have a Facebook page. That's what psychic mediums, mystical beings support group. So if anyone's interested in that, I can actually, you know, resend you that link, but that's a Facebook. Okay. That's a good place to connect with me now. I will have, like I said, I will be having a Patreon website coming soon, still under construction. So at this time, I don't have a lot to share other than if you want a community, building a community of Facebook for people that are interested in all things paranormal, you know, like a support network for people like us, like-minded people to come together. So if you're interested, I invite you to join us.
Awesome. Yeah. That is always a good place to be.
Absolutely. Now in my life, I connect to the people that are my people, and I love meeting new people, you know, that are also like-minded people. It just makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
Those are my people, and that's the environment that I want to create. So, yeah. So very nice. Thank you so much for, you know, having me on tonight.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
a lot of fun talking with you guys. Really appreciate it.
Oh, this great meeting you. And remember, stick around for a couple of minutes.
I sure will.
Don't forget to check us out, utterlyinsaneproductions.com, and this Friday. Our guest, and I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name, but her first name's Alex, and they're from a group called Paranormal Kicks Cancer. So it should be an interesting evening there. And don't forget to watch us on paraflex.com. You can find the link to subscribe on our website. And we're out of here. So stay safe. And remember, anything's possible.